You're listening to It Takes a Village podcast with Liberty,
Megan,
and Brianna, where you don't have to be perfect, you just have to be you.
Welcome to It Takes a Village podcast. I'm Liberty.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Brianna.
And today we are talking about birth. What is it? Why do we have to go through such a thing? And then, well, so first we're going to start out talking about some of our mom moments or personal moments. Probably keeping it a little shorter this week than last. And then going into the meat of the episode itself, which is going to kind of walk through the stages of birth and what those include, some of the tough decisions you have to make, some of our experiences, obviously, with birth. And, yeah, just all the beautiful, messy things that happen at honestly, probably the craziest time in my life. So, yeah, let's get into our updates on ourselves or our mom moments.
All right.
You want to start, Brie?
Yeah, definitely. So my share for the week is about my kid socially. He's had a bit of a tough time recently with the friends that have been his friends for a long time. They've had kind of a break. He's in middle school. It's starting to happen. Social stuff is just getting different. But he has this amazing neighbor friend that he's had ever since he was two. And they go in and out of like hanging out with each other and playing with each other and kind of remembering that each other is there. And it's been a minute. So he hasn't been over to our house in a long time. And he just started coming back over. He's been over every single day this week. And we've had dinner with him every single day this week. Yeah. And they're just like having an absolute blast. He was here and you came over yesterday. So it's been really nice to see him kind of transition from something that was tough socially into a friendship that he's had for a really long time. And I'm really proud of him.
My next? Do you want me to go next?
Yeah. Okay.
Keep it brief. So today's the last day I have a three-year-old.
My goodness.
But also, I don't know. Four was like the age I met Evan, so it's always been my milestone.
Oh.
For Avery, I'm like, oh, that'll be the end of it. But
or the beginning of something else.
I know, but it's also the end of toddlerhood, and now I got to go pick clothes in the wrong section. And
oh, I remember that feeling.
It's the worst. But she's also been super awesome because she's kind of transitioning out of that three-year-old phase, and we went on a trip, and she did amazing the entire time.
Yeah,
she was great on the plane. She was great through the airport. We had one hard time at the airport. It was totally my fault. I had this pressure of like, you have to sleep. Your brain is turning to mush if you don't get enough sleep, because that's one of the many things we get told is if they don't get enough sleep, they'll be idiots later. So I just
and it is so intense keeping up on the naps.
So I felt so pressured to like, it's 10:30. She should be in bed by now. But anyway, yeah. So that was kind of my fault. But she did great. And then she's been saying really funny stuff, and we got back, and she's been kind of constipated from the traveling, which is natural. And so I asked her while we were trying to go bathroom one time. I was like, first of all, I can't. She asked me to help, and I can't help. But other than words of encouragement, and I also said, you're going to have to try. Where'd your cacas go? And she said, my cacas on vacation. And then told grandma that they're on vacation at Tucker's house. And I mean, sure, that's exactly where they disappeared, apparently.
Yeah, on vacation.
So they're on vacation still. So.
I kind of love that.
Okay, my share this week is, I'm copycatting you, Megan, because our kids' birthdays are at the same time. And I'm literally 1 year behind you. So you're probably like, oh, wow.
That's exactly how I feel. Like, oh, well, I wish I had that back.
I know. Yeah. But it's just about just like the crazy up and downs of feelings. Like I kind of try to track moments that I think would be good to talk about on the podcast here and there. And I put like a positive or a negative next to them. To know, like, to remind myself, like, was this a negative experience for me that I want to talk about, or a positive one? And I put a plus and a minus next to this one because it's so exciting and she's changing and it's so fun and she's so sweet and I love talking to her more because we have like whole conversations now and she understands what I'm saying and sometimes doesn't care what I'm saying and defies me, but like also, there's so much tenderness and sweetness and love, and I just love that. And also, she's, like, getting more adventurous and curious and all that, and that's exciting. But then I'm, like, I'll, like, get stuck scrolling. I don't know. This is probably a thing that people do other than me. I feel like I've talked to you about it before, where I just, like, go back in my phone to, like, when she was born randomly.
Oh, I do that, yeah.
and look at the pictures and look at the videos, because videos are so great for like actually remembering what mm-hmm. it was like and like how she moved
and their little voices
sounded, like what sounds she even made. Like in the moment, you're like, I'm never gonna forget this, and then you absolutely forget
it. Absolutely,
so record. Will. I would recommend.
Yeah,
record. I was just, you know, emphasizing the complete random turnaround of feelings I'll have on it one day to the next, where it's like super intense and I get sad and like actually cry sometimes. Not super hard, but like moments where I notice she's changing or doing something different and I'm just like like making dinner and I'm like, I'm fine, don't look at me. And then other times where I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is so fun, like we can talk about doing X, Y, and Z thing now, or like we can do a game that we couldn't do before, or like yes. skills come to light. And I'm just like, oh, this is awesome. She's killing it on her balance bike, you know, stuff like that. It's just fun. So as we mentioned, we're going to kind of hop into birth and the different stages of labor, which are, you know, at a high level are just early labor, active labor, and transition. And then the birth itself, so the pushing and birthing the baby.
Or being cut open.
And then the very overlooked and strange part of it, which is birthing your placenta or getting it removed again if you're cut open. So that's kind of just what we're going to dive into. I think real quick, I'm going to talk about the early labor, active labor, and transition and what that actually means, so you have some context while we're talking through our birth stories. So early labor is just, you know, When it begins, it is early. There's mild to regular contractions, and you begin to dilate into face. A face is just thinning of the cervix from 0 to 6 centimeters, and it can last hours or it can take days sometimes. In my case, it took days. We'll get there later. Active labor, so the contractions become stronger and stronger, closer together. You kind of dilate further from 6 to 10 centimeters. And then the final and most intense part of labor is transition, where your cervix fully dilates at 10 centimeters. And then the contractions are super strong and painful. And then you're ready to go with the pushing.
Look up the pumpkin sizes and it will give you an idea of what 10 centimeters looks like.
Yeah.
It'll blow your mind.
Some picture.
It's
yeah.
so fun.
Look up pumpkin centimeter dilation or something, and
yes,
and you'll see this
or this awesome video where this nurse is showing us what is actually happening with a balloon and a ping pong ball.
Oh yeah,
it's so helpful to understand how your uterus works and why it's contracting.
Do you know where you found this video? Was it on Instagram?
I think it was on YouTube, and I just searched like nurse balloon ping pong ball birthing, but we could probably just link
it. We'll link that in our description. Yeah. So and whenever any of us mention something interesting or a resource to share, I always add it in the description. You can also add it in the link section, but I want to make sure it's really easily available on the landing page. So in our description, you can find all of the resources that we mention.
Okay, who wants to start with their story?
The very beginning.
Yeah.
So my birth story was atypical for what the doctors tell you it's going to be. The very beginning of it was for what the doctors say it's going to be, and very typical for what TV and movies say it's going to be. So when you start birthing classes and going to all of your appointments, you're told pretty much on the regular that what you see on TV doesn't happen. Your water doesn't just break out of nowhere. You're in an early labor for a long time and you're aware it's happening. Like, it's really pushed for TV and movies to make it look like it begins at the water breaking. So they make a big point of telling you that's not when it begins. Mm-hmm. That's actually how it began for me. So I was in my bed. I was binge watching Grey's Anatomy. I was in the episode where, have you guys seen Grey's Anatomy?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you know how there was an active shooting at the hospital?
Yes.
And then a documentary team came and did a documentary about that shooting. I was watching that episode where the documentary team had just showed up, and then my water broke, and I was like, oh right now? Could we wait like an hour?
I just want to find out what happened.
Maybe I could take my iPad with me, and I remember my doctor calling and being like, you really need to go to the hospital like right now.
Yeah, when your water breaks.
Yeah, like, and I was like, yeah, when your water breaks, it is go time.
Yeah.
And I, missed all of the early warning, like – any kind of early contractions I know. I had waddled myself down to the farmer's market, had Indian food, waddled myself back, and then bam, my water.
And that did it.
Yeah.
Indian food and a good and old waddle.
A long walk down to the farmer's market. So, yeah, I skipped all of it. My water was already broken by the time I was headed into the hospital. And I still tried to, like, tidy up my house. And my doctor was like, no, really, you need to leave right now. Mm-hmm. And so I got myself to the hospital. My water had already broken. Pants already wet. Get to the hospital. And they were like, yeah, we'll help you in 1 minute. And I was like, what?
When?
What? And this woman who was in pre-labor, no water broken, was already sitting in a wheelchair, and she stood up and was like, would you like to sit down?
I
was like,
please sit down, ma'am.
Yes, thank you. No one from the hospital said sit down. I went to Cedars-Sinai in LA. No one in the hospital said sit down, but this poor woman was like, you are clearly in need of this more than I am. Please sit down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And that was the start. Very like the movies.
My story. Well, a few things. Because, and you all heard it in the first podcast, if you're avid listeners, if you're not, listen to episode 2, part 2, you'll hear the stories. I had a very weird pregnancy. So when I got back from Grand Junction, Dr. Villanueva, who is amazing.
Shout out.
She strongly suggested that I get induced. And I was at 36 weeks, I think. And I said no. And then I said, let's give it a week. So then I went back in. And then I said no again. And then I went back in. And then every time she's like, look, it's just because we don't know what was going on. We should probably induce. That's just what they suggest. And everything I've read up to that point is like, the doctors are just going to try to induce you for no reason, just to make it easy.
That's the expectation, right? You're told yes. That the whole time is so that doctors want it to go this way.
Kept pushing mm-hmm. back. And honestly, she probably knew exactly. I mean, she knew exactly what she was doing and there was a reason why. But it was fine. I pushed back once more and she was very respectful of that. And I said, if by Friday she's not here, I will go in. And the whole time I'm just like, I'm like really uncomfortable because nobody tells you what labor feels like.
Yeah.
So you don't know what to expect. So there's that too, yeah. Right? So you don't know what early labor feels like. So you're just like, is it Braxton Hicks? Is it a contraction?
Yeah.
Is it not a contraction? Am I moving?
And I had had Braxton Hicks for like a month, so I really didn't know.
You just don't know. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all I remember is just being uncomfortable and just like, and then by that point, I was like, she's fully baked. She's good to go. And Dr. V said my only job was to relax, maybe have a glass of wine once in a while, and really just try to like, I mean, really, you're so anxious for the big moment. So I just had Brianna over for wine.
Yeah.
So then I went in and I went in for my appointment. I mean, it was technically 9 a.m., but we have to check in early, 7 a.m. to get you in there. And I'm still feeling pretty good. I'm definitely like kind of in it, but like not really. But the nice thing is like most hospitals will turn you around if you're not in fully like, I can't even remember, is it like 4 minutes apart or something? Like
I think it's three minutes apart, right? And it lasts for a certain increment of time.
Yeah. So they didn't turn me around because I was already there and I had an appointment. And they do give you an option that like, you know, if you really don't want to do this right now, you can go home. It's up to you. And I was like, we're already here. It is what it is. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. And they did Cytotec. So they were going to do 4 doses of Cytotec and 1 of Pitocin to get me to the end, right? And what Cytotec does is that it's a little pill that they put it up your vaginal canal to your cervix, and it softens your cervix.
It's a suppository?
Yeah, sort of.
So
yeah.
It's like immediate.
Yeah, and it starts to like soften your cervix, and it's only active for about 4 hours at a time, and then it goes away. And that's why they wanted to do 4 doses and do 1 of Pitocin to like get the contractions doing. And what Pitocin does is it will trigger artificial, but it will trigger your body to start contractions. So that's what they want to do. They did 1 dose of Cytotec, and then Dr. V came in and checked in, and she was like, you're fully in labor right now, so we are not going to continue this induction. So I didn't really, I got semi-induced, not really. I did one dose of Cytotec and then I was in it and I was ready to go. So that was my early labor story, is I kind of got to skip it a little, which is kind of nice.
Did you guys use that app?
My plan.
Did you use any kind of app to track your contractions and how frequently they were coming? And because I used one too, because I had a lot of Braxton Hicks. I was working a demanding job all the way up to the end. And so that last month, I had a lot of Braxton Hicks. And so I was always tracking them and seeing how quickly. I used an app too, but it was over 10 years ago. Yeah. So we will ask Abra. Like sometimes they'll pick up and be that consistent and you'll go to the hospital and they'll be like, and then it'll calm back down and they'll be like, you know what? It's not time yet.
Yeah. But it is good to just go if you it have is. Any doubts, honestly, because they're monitoring it. They'll put you on a little monitor, make sure baby's doing good.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's not a like sign of failure to be sent home to wait for
I
a little bit
like
later.
I felt like I was a little bit because I did cave to the induction and I never wanted it, but then I also in the back of my mind was like, I don't know what was going on, and I do trust Dr. V and I don't know what to do, so I just went for it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that you caved. I wouldn't use that language on yourself.
I know. I did go for 3 weeks.
You made the best you made the best choice that you could at the moment for the safety of your kid.
I mean, in the end, I was really glad we were there, and I will tell you guys about that later. Liberty had it hardcore.
I actually don't know if I know much of your birth story.
God, all I remember is visiting and be like, still?
Oh, no.
You're not there yet.
So we'll find the actual contraction tracker app that Abra used. I used one too. I took it off my phone like very recently, like 6 months ago. Because I was like, why is this still on here? Like, I don't think I need that anytime soon. And there's, I think it was called Full Term. Or, right, there's a couple. So,
yeah,
there's a couple out there, but we'll share. So it's like so cute that you guys got to skip early labor.
I know, because you were so grouchy.
Oh my God, dude.
And I was just trying to come give you support.
Sometimes for some women, it can last for a very long time.
I kind of like really didn't want anyone to be around me. Like,
of course not.
That's fair.
I was like, okay, I'm going to be watching this Disney movie because that's my
solid
happy
choice.
I was like, Miyazaki movies and Disney movies and contractions because I need to balance this like gross like pain that I feel. Anyway, so my birth process, she was one day early. So it was like basically right on there. The week before that, I had gone in and done like a membrane sweep, which is basically where they they sweep your cervix, like around your cervix, to detach your cervix from, I think, is it the amniotic sac or is it just?
I think it is.
Like kind of moves things along and tells your body that something's changing and happening and can sometimes result in labor starting within a few days after that. It was uncomfortable, but it really didn't feel terrible to me. I've heard really bad stories. I've read a bunch of stuff where I was like, before I went in, obviously I like inundated myself with information online, which is not advisable. But I was like worried about it because I had like read so many things that it was so painful, and I wasn't. For me, it wasn't. And I was just like, oh, it's over. Like, it just felt like pressure.
I wonder if that's because you were close.
Yeah, it probably has something to do with where it was. And so we'll have to, honestly, Dr. V, if you're listening, we'll have to tell you. We should interview her at some point.
Yeah.
We'd love to.
That'd be awesome. Anyway, so they did the sweep and I was like, okay, cool. And then nothing really crazy happened for about 2 days. And then I started having mild contractions to the point where like it was tough for me to sleep, but it wasn't enough. Like none of the kind of telltale signs were happening. I'm like, my water didn't break. The mucus plug, I didn't notice like that hadn't come out.
Yeah.
So anyone that's pregnant will know what we're saying.
I was truly unsure when, if, where I was unsure what the mucus plug looked like and if it left, really honestly.
Yeah.
Like so many times you go to the bathroom and you're like, was that it?
Was that it? Is that it?
Yeah.
Mine, came, I mean, and that was just my weird part of my weird part. That's why I got sent to Grand Junction.
Yeah.
Because it was like January.
Yeah.
But it just kind of happened because my cervix was like basically shedding cells.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I didn't see any signs and I was like, okay, this just kind of sucks. I guess it's going to come soon. Like I anticipated it happening. I went in for the emergency. That was the expectation. So I basically just kind of waited. And I had heard from other people that like they won't really admit you into the hospital if you're not like up to a certain point, right? So I was like, okay, I'm just going to like sleep and kind of chill. And I'd heard other people have prodromal labor, which is like a really extended early labor. And I was like, okay, maybe that's happening to me. I don't know. So I just kind of went through one night and then the next morning went in and they were basically, I went, because I was just like, okay, are we doing this? Like, I don't know. Again, you have no context for like, it was my first kid. So I don't know what phase I'm in or like how intense it is or if I'm thinking that it's more intense than it is or it's not. And I'm just like, being whiny. I don't know. Which is, you're not being whiny when you're having
giving birth. No, but that's a good point because I had the same thought. Like, am I not handling this as well as other women?
Yeah, because, well, also this made me feel, this was totally fine for the hospital to do, but they were like, okay, you can just go home. It doesn't look like you're in labor. they were like, we'd be able to tell. We'd be able to tell if you were in labor. And I was like, well, okay, yeah. They're like, well, we can, like, admit you for a second and just, like, kind of check you to see where you are. And I was like very curious number wise. I just need, I don't know. I need a lot of certainty around stuff like that. So I was like, yeah, I do want to know about where I'm at. And some women definitely do not want people just prodding them all the time. But I was like, please tell me what the fuck is going on. Because
all the information possible.
Yeah. It's been a day. And like, should it be a day? Should it be 2 days, 3 days? Like, woo. Like, should I be worried at some point? And I was like 3 centimeters dilated. And they're like, you can go home. You've got a little while. Like, you're good.
I remember 3. You're and like, then, how much worse is it going to get?
Yeah. Well, because it was just like, it was consistent. Like a lot of them were, it was just ongoing and ongoing for like over a day at that point. And I was like, this sucks. I can't like do something because I get interrupted because it's painful enough to like stop. It's painful enough to like mostly wake me up at night. Like, so I wasn't getting good sleep. I was getting exhausted. And I remember talking to Dr. B on the phone. And she was like, okay, you know, just continue laboring at home. I'm a little worried about you getting too tired to be able to push and give vaginal birth. Like at some point we need to probably just move things along more quickly so you can get some sleep and, you know,
there's only so long you can be awake
or just get it going so that you don't have to, so you can like go to sleep afterwards.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay. And then we decided to do another sweep. So it will move things along again. So I did a second one.
Did that one hurt?
And no, that one was like nothing at all. Because it was like done already. Like,
okay.
It's right? Just kind of like signaling again. Like, hey, are you going to do this?
Are you going to come out?
And then I was probably like, no. I'm good. I'm just going to like fully stretch my legs out into my mom's ribs.
Yeah.
So then that definitely like made them more intense. And then I decided to wait again overnight and that sucked. but it was fine. Like it was okay. It wasn't getting too intense again, like the measuring of the time between and like it wasn't quite hitting what it needed to be like active labor and then go in and like do stuff. So I waited again. And then in the morning, we decided to like load the car up with the stuff just to be like very prepared in case it like went in case more, stuff like, happened. Suddenly. And then my friend Allison like stopped by. I don't remember why at the time, but it was like, I think she just dropped something off. I don't remember.
Subversive Stitch, Allison?
Yeah. Subversive Stitches. So shop. Try to say that 3 times fast. Check it out. She's amazing. So she came over and I was just like, you know, you could tell shit was going down. And she was like, you're going to have a baby today.
So Allison. No.
And I was like, I know. Aww. Thank you. Thank you so much. and it was so funny because Brett was just like frantically packing the car. Like, do we have everything? I was like, it's not coming out right now. Like, it's okay. We can make sure everything's in
here
the
car. Here she comes. Blop.
Yeah. So I think his anxiety was starting. And then we decided to go in and they were like, okay, we're going to go ahead and admit you. And like, I was 6 centimeters at that point, which makes a lot of sense because it was painful. And
six centimeters
Yeah.
I took a bath, and this is the part. Because
you're far, but not there.
Yeah.
What blows my mind is how different everyone's body is. Granted, I had side attack.
Yeah.
But you will get to 4 centimeters faster than somebody else, or you will go slower.
Yeah.
There's no way of knowing.
Yeah.
How much, and I was actually thinking this when you were talking about it. Okay, how many of us did all of that match our plans?
Absolutely
0%.
Not.
0%.
Yeah, mine did not right? match my plan at all.
I don't think I had a fully formed concept. I had like playlists of music. Like, it does take a lot of time because you're like, I want to be having this vibe, and I want to have like my headphones there, and
I want to feel this way,
or some kind of smell. That's or whatever.
What I yeah, too.
Yeah. I didn't actually plan that much. I just I kind of pulled a like template off the internet. There's so many, and it just kind of walks through the different decision points that you have. And I actually don't. I honestly don't remember a lot of them. Where it's like, do you want to be able to take drugs at different points throughout, or and there are different types of drugs, and like the word drug just sounds so like it's just, do you need medication of some kind? There's a better word to manage the situation, whatever that is. And I think that's the point of it being so like, you don't know what's going to happen. And so you kind of want to know what your answer might be.
Yeah.
And then have some flexibility to like what it could be and what either of them, what the implications are for either choice. And like, if you go too far down rabbit holes, like you will feel like either choice is awful.
Yeah.
Or none of the choices is awful. All the choices are awful. Like,
there's a lot of stigma. You can find
things to feel guilty about everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I like to research and plan and like have some certainty around things, but I don't like to be so strict and rigid and structured that I can't have flexibility.
Stuck. Yeah.
It's a weird balance. So I actually didn't really do much. I like printed one out and I was like, okay, I guess I would like be okay with this in this circumstance. And then I made a playlist and I was like, I don't want to bring a candle. I don't really care about a candle. I don't know. Like, I wasn't like, I don't know. I just felt like that wasn't important to me. I know it's important to a lot of people to like get into that mood. And I know that like if you're doing natural birth, like kind of there's like hypnobirthing and like all these different tactics to kind of calm yourself enough to go through the experience, or try to calm parts of yourself that you feel like you have more control over, like your mind and all that. So I was more just kind of like, okay, I don't think that's the way for me. I looked up a lot of stuff on hypnobirthing and like breathing techniques and had some things in my back pocket, but I didn't necessarily have a plan that I was like feeling super in love with.
Dr. V's concept with it was, and I really appreciate this, was make a birth plan, be open to it changing, and state that. Say, be open to it changing, because you might be in the middle of all of these feelings that you're not prepared for, because nobody knows what it feels like until you go through it, and say, I don't want to do it all natural anymore.
Yeah.
I want an epidural. I want this. I want, you know, like whatever it is. And some nurses care so deeply about your birth plan and how you wanted the experience to go, that they also know that you're just kind of in it, and they think you can do this, and so they will hold strong and not flex.
And that's what doulas are really good for, too. And so
you really need to tell them, like, this is what I have in mind, but if you, in your professional opinion, see something wrong or has a night or thinks I need to change this or I want to change it, I need you to just do whatever I feel in the moment.
Yeah.
If you want it to be that way. I mean, it's hard to be committed to a birth plan when you don't really know how it's going to go.
And it's okay to change
your mind. And it's okay to change your mind. And you absolutely should not feel guilt when things don't go the way you want them to. And it's none of your control. Because it's really not. It's just how your body's going to go and how the baby's going to do and how things are going to go. Like, you can only control so much.
Yeah. It's good to set good intentions, but it's good to be ready for anything. If you need that
to feel prepared for what you're going into.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely zero experience. Like, some people need to feel very, very prepared.
Yeah.
And know that they did the research, then that's also okay.
Just as long as I think you always keep it in mind that change is going to be okay.
My own pillow?
Oh, yeah.
Was the only thing that was helpful because...
And something to wear afterwards.
I wanted
I got stuff to wear afterwards. Cozy
to sleep, because you're there for 2, maybe 3 days. Mm-hmm. You might as well have a good pillow.
Yeah. One that smells like your house.
Yep.
If it changes, it's going to be okay.
And the sensations are nothing you've ever experienced before.
Yeah. And you can't like compare it. Everyone was like, it feels like a really, like your back is breaking.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
And I didn't have a lot of feeling in my
back. I could really feel it in my back.
Yeah. But different people feel it in different places, in different ways, with different intensity.
Or some people say it'll feel like fire.
Yeah.
Like you're on fire.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest and real raw for a minute.
Yeah.
It felt like a really gnarly poop.
Yeah.
You know, like when you're visiting.
That one that you're like, I don't want to do it, but I'm going to feel so like much
vacation,
better.
Like
later.
When your poop went on vacation, you know?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
It's, that was the closest pain I could like describe like
bad,
it with.
A real bad poo.
Like the worst you could think of. I'm in a foreign country. My body isn't used to any of this.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not at my toilet. Like that kind of feeling where you're like,
I'm gonna.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm going to use this opportunity to transition into pooping while giving birth.
Our expectations.
Expectation or like hope, I guess, was it's that I wrong. Wouldn't. I thought I might because I'm just, that fucking would happen, right?
I 100% expected
I was like,
to.
I'm going to shit on someone today.
I just got ready for it.
And it didn't happen. I was so surprised.
It really causes a lot of fear.
Yeah. I was not scared. I was very unashamed of it because I know that like they've seen crazier. Like whatever you think is the craziest thing to happen to your body, they have seen something more bonkers, something more gross. They have seen more.
Yeah.
Than what is your most
when you're in the moment
vulnerable.
You're so exposed that that's the last thing you care about.
Okay, so Megan had warned me that you have to say that you want the epidural maybe earlier than you think you want it because,
yes, you
because
do.
We live in a small town and their anesthesiologist is not like there. They have to like come in and sometimes it can take 30 minutes, 45 minutes, depending. And I was like, okay, I want an epidural.
Yes.
Like when I was at six, like basically like an hour after I got there, I was like,
this is us moving into the active labor.
Sorry. I went there.
moving into the active labor stage.
Like, I was like, okay, I'm going to probably get it. I was at six. So
yeah.
Imagining like seven, eight, nine. I was like,
yeah, I think that's when I got mine.
Tell him to come. I was like, get him over here. Whatever. And it was absolutely the most painful thing I've ever felt in my life. But it was
getting it.
Like, no, not the actually. Yeah. Let me backstep. The contractions were the most painful thing I'd ever felt.
Yeah.
The epidural was fine. Like, I was just like, get it in me.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm going to turn around. And it was like a little.
It's actually not that bad.
It wasn't.
Okay.
It's pressure.
My epidural, I was at a teaching hospital. And at the beginning, they asked.
Did they poke multiple times?
They asked, is it okay? Yes. They asked, is it okay if a student is present? And I said, sure.
Not does it.
It's not okay. Really give that some consideration. Really give it some consideration if you want someone learning medicine in the room with you. With retrospect, I did not. Yeah. But I'm a people pleaser, so I was like, okay, everyone needs a chance to learn.
Come learn.
Yeah.
I'll just be birthing over here.
But they ended up having a student do my epidural placement, and they missed the first time. And then tried again the second time, and I had a contraction through it, and it got misplaced. And the whole left side of my body, I could still feel everything.
Oh, fuck.
All the way through my C-section, I could feel everything. And at the end of it, they were trying to move me from the table back to the gurney, and I moved myself, and they said, oh, shit, can you feel your legs? And I was like, yeah, the whole time. Like, I picked myself up and moved myself to the gurney.
Oh, no.
And that was the look on my nurse's faces.
Just like, oh, you could feel half of that.
Oh, no. Yeah. And I told them many times throughout, I can still feel this side. I can still feel this side. And they didn't double check before they sent me back for the C-section.
Mm. I've heard this story a lot.
Yeah.
Where it's they terrifying.
Kind of were just like, okay.
Well. Yeah.
And you're like, no, I need
and
to be knocked
the fuck out. And then you get put into major surgery. Yeah,
but not knocked out.
And you can still feel things.
Yeah, that's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
So, no, you do not want a student in the room.
No, at that. Maybe with
of
your,
all
like,
the times
kid,
to people, please. God damn it.
I know.
I still, yeah.
Nope.
I still didn't want an epidural for a little while. And then what happened to get me to that decision, I had Avery's heart rate dropped drastically, and we were watching it drop on the screen, and Gunnison never has anybody else in the maternity ward. We were the only ones there.
It was so nice. Yeah, there was right? like one other lady that
Except
came in like after.
Except during that window.
Oh.
No.
And so Alex, our nurse, had to leave and help this mom. And she wasn't in labor, but she didn't hydrate enough coming to altitude from Texas. So she was there not feeling great.
Yeah.
And so they helped her. And meanwhile, Tyler and I are like, maybe it's just the monitor that's weird. Maybe it's just... So in retrospect, had we stayed home and not been induced, we wouldn't have known this. Like, yeah. This would have been happening at home. And so we called the nurse in and she saw it. And I've never seen anyone move so fast. I was so impressed. And she was like, nope, that's okay. Nope, that's not the monitor. Your baby isn't breathing. And so we'll plop you on the bed, put you on your side. She was on the phone, got the OR ready, had the anesthesiologist ready, like everything ready. Going in for a C-section. She's pressing on my belly. And then all of a sudden, Avery starts coming back. And so Avery was fine.
How did that feel?
I was bawling and I was crying and I was scared and I was shaking and I was completely distraught and I was, do whatever you gotta do to get her out.
Yeah.
That's where I was at. And then Alex kind of calmed down. She's like, she's coming back. She's good. We're good. We're going to continue on this path, but you're just going to stay here. You're going to lay down on your right side from here on out. She's breathing. You're not moving. So I got stuck on my right side for the entire labor. And then they put me on oxygen to make sure I had extra oxygen for Avery. Mm-hmm. And then I just had to take it. And all that walking plan, all of the moving around.
Bouncing
all
on a ball.
Gone.
Yeah.
Just lay here and take it like a champ.
Yeah.
And so I just remember getting to a point where the contractions were so intense and I couldn't move. My whole body was just like shaking in bed. And the anesthesiologist had come in to check in on me because they wanted to make sure I wasn't eating in case we needed to do a C-section. And I asked him, he said, well, on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling? And I said, honestly, I've never, you're in a place of just like, I don't even know what that means. I just was like, nobody's ever explained to me what that scale means.
Yes.
And he said, oh, well. When you're at a 6, you are having a hard time breathing, you're having a hard time talking, and your body will show physical signs of discomfort. And so he's like, typically, that's where you want to have an epidural.
Yeah.
And I was like, great. So he walks in, he's like, you're at a 6. I was like, I know, I am. Like, I was just like... shaking and not able to breathe.
Yeah.
And all of those things. I was like, now that's my visual of like whenever on the pain scale and I go in, I'm like, I'm feeling like I have a migraine at 8. It's not a migraine at 8. You're probably at a 3.
My scale is adjusted because of labor too.
Nurses let's take a moment to just like praise the nurses. The 7 nurses in the room for me because I was giving birth and pushing it like shift change.
Yeah,
so they were all the nurses.
Yes.
And they were like, you got this. And I was like, I do. I know.
The nurses are the MVPs.
Oh God, I know.
They're the comforting ones. Like the doctors are there to make sure nothing goes to shit. Nothing is an emergency, everyone lives.
It's like,
but the nurses like hold you and care for you and understand what's happening
to you.
Or
get you to a point where your baby's breathing again.
Yeah.
Avery had the cord wrapped around her neck, so they just had to shift her. And then
thank God, though.
I know, they shifted it and then it was fine.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It's scary.
Yeah, what a moment.
So let's talk about
the moment.
Yeah, our actual.
Or is there anything else?
No, let's talk about the moment.
When you push.
Or when they come out.
When they push, because the pushing is a thing.
I pushed.
A major phase for some people.
For 2 hours.
Yeah.
And he did not move.
That's frustrating.
Not an inch. And then I spiked a fever and his heart rate dropped. And that's when that was it.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you can't have that baby in there for that long. Plus, once your water breaks or is broken for you, which is what happened to us.
Yeah.
They did it.
And we were, it's a certain amount of time after that.
You really can't have them in there for that
long. And breaking was like how it started for me.
Yeah.
And then I spiked a fever. I actually passed out. I woke up and there were just tons of doctors around me.
Yeah.
And that's kind of when it was decided. Okay. Me too.
That's scary.
I know.
Those are okay.
I know.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, I pushed for an hour and 13 minutes, and I was early in the morning, so I got an extra stay at the hospital.
Hey-o.
But it was actually pretty quick, but the only frustrating thing was that I still had to push on my right side. So from the four centimeters until I was pushing.
I pushed on my right side for a while, too. Fucking hurt.
I had to just lay there.
Okay,
like so a let's dead talk fish.
Specifically about the position, because I know I was like so curious beforehand. I was like, "What fucking position?"
They positioned me on my right side.
They have this. You have this idea in your mind of like your stirrups up feet position, which is like the movies. Not good for your pelvic bone to move the right way.
Yeah.
And there's like things that you can use. By the way, like there's a bar that you can put above the table.
The bar, one of the bars, a peanut.
What bar?
There's a bar there's that goes bar over the bed so you can pull yourself up or you can like hold on to it and like labor standing. So gravity.
Or you can wrap a towel around it that you can pull on.
Ah,
that's
so
what
cool.
I did. That's how I gave birth. So I had like, I was like kind of to a side, like one of my legs was up and then I like it was like, it's like a leverage point.
How
in the
far
video.
On
you should
your
watch
side?
YouTube right now, everybody.
You should.
While we get ourselves wine and Liberty demonstrates the position.
Heave ho!
Yeah, but I was like, wow, that really helps. Like getting that like
how far on your side?
Point.
Yeah,
kind of like that. Like literally like this. I was
they
like,
had
on
me
my back,
completely
but, like,
on my side.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I labored. I like pushed first on my four on all fours because
oh, you
I,
did.
Yeah, because I had an epidural, but like I could feel partially my left side, like it wasn't 100% in the middle.
Interesting.
Which actually helped me a lot. I feel like if I couldn't feel any of the contractions, I wouldn't have actually known when to push because they would oftentimes, and they're not wrong because they see the thing, but they're like push, push, and then I would feel when it was like the highest moment, and then I would push.
And those are the ones you want to push on,
right? Anyway. And so I could feel enough of it that I knew when it was happening. So it actually helped a lot to be able to feel.
Interesting, it was your left side also.
Right.
It's weird.
So I, oh my God, I hated the fact that I had to lay on my side.
Yeah.
And I know why, because it was a position where the cord wasn't like strangling my child, but it was so hard because Tyler had to lift me to have any kind of leverage to push. Because like if you're just laying on your side, how are you going to?
Yeah, like
you
your position
push,
sounds
right?
like good leverage.
Like Tyler was lifting me and like holding me and trying to push. It was so bizarre, and I just
it was,
had to
it's
keep
a
going.
Hard position.
But I could almost feel everything because of it, because everything was so tight.
Right.
I was actually born with ribs out, which that's another story for a different time. Mm. So it was, like, really bizarre, but I remember that feeling of her making the turn.
Mm.
And, oh, this is another thing. Ah, Dr. V, I love you. So she's like, all right, it's on you now. You can feel your contractions. You push when you feel them, right? Like, she probably did the same for you. You can feel those spikes.
Was there a point where you guys realized, like, oh, this is going to happen. I'm going to vaginally give birth now.
Yeah.
Like, C-section, I'm out of the woods. That's not going to happen. Like, here we go.
Kind of, yeah. When she let me... So what happened was she came in and checked in to me on at min... No, she checked in at 11. I was asleep. I fell asleep after an epidural. Everybody get an epidural.
I did too.
You can sleep.
Yeah.
You can sleep.
Watched Dawson's Creek, fell asleep.
Amazing. So needed.
Yeah.
So
sleep.
She checked in on me and then decided, she's like, she'll be ready at midnight to push. And then she was resting.
She's accurate.
She was sleeping too and decided, she told me when she came in at 1, she's like, I let you sleep an extra hour. The longer that head was sitting there, your baby was stable, the longer the stretching can happen, less tearing you get. Which is because episiotomies, the cutting and stuff, they don't do those now. They don't suggest it. Because if you do it, then you tear more, right? It's kind of like cutting a piece of paper and then pulling on it.
Oh, okay.
So they try not to do that. So having her head sitting there, naturally you stretch longer. So it was great. But yeah, with that moment of like, oh, it's time to push.
Yeah.
I'm over the hump. But you're not. You're just going into it. But you're like...
When you felt her move, I'm just curious because it didn't happen for me. When you felt her move into...
If every time feels like a little bit more relief. So I was laying there and my contractions were going, you know, you can see them on the monitor, as it turns out. And I didn't know.
Yeah.
But I was just like, nope, there's one. Didn't do anything. Yeah, there's another one.
You're like, my choice,
didn't
I'm pausing.
Didn't do anything, I know.
Yeah, I know.
I'm taking a break. And she's like,
not break time.
There's a contraction. There's another one. I'm really going to need you to push. And I was like, I don't really feel like it. She's like, it's not really a choice. I gave you a choice, but not really a choice. And then she grabbed my water bottle, and I wish I had it with me. It had a Bernie Sanders stickers on it. And she goes, Bernie says you can do it. And it just made my day. And so now I'm like so attached to that sticker.
It was that angry Bernie with the mittens.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's hilarious.
It's like, the give best. My bitch. Yes. And I just was like, thank you for that. And that like snapped me out of it. And I kept pushing and it was great. And then she made the turn. And then what was amazing to me was while I was pushing on my side, once she was like, her head has to get past the pelvis, right? Gets past it. They flip me over, drop it. And then she just like, they caught, like she just came out. Like they did all of this in a split second. And I just remember being like, at the same time, you're like, hormones, like whoosh, like, whoa.
Wow. And then did they put her straight on your chest?
And then they asked Tyler to clip the cord, and he said, no, I'd like you to please do your jobs.
Yeah, of course he did.
And they clipped the cord, Brendan, and then, yeah, and like, then they brought her Sam over did. To me and Tyler, and that was, yeah. And and my first thought when I saw her was, this is terrible, but this is postpartum depression, everybody. This is why I had my first thought was like, I just birthed the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, and I made her, and she's only for her to die someday.
Mm.
And she's destined to
like
die.
Like you're
and
aware of her immortality.
So yeah. Bizarre. It's like such an intense feeling.
I had a crazy thought too when child. Evan yeah. was born. So I was on the table and they cut me open and pulled him out. And I remember, I feel like this is just important for like future women's health yeah. to talk about, that it was extra difficult for her to cut on a certain side. Mm. And I think it created some scar tissue that's important later. So I remember her struggling on the left side, and also I could feel a lot on the left side. Oh. And then she got Evan out, and I remember that emptying feeling
mm-hmm.
because you're just so occupied for 9 months and then vacant all mm-hmm. of a sudden.
Yeah.
And I remember that feeling, and I was, because of all of the drugs and the surgery, I felt like I was in a literal fog. I grew up near San Francisco, and it felt like that kind of fog.
Yeah.
Like that thick that you truly can't see the mountain in front of you.
Except exactly what's right in front of you, yeah. which is your baby.
And so I remember my first thought, because I was in that whole haze, was, oh my God, that baby is so loud. Is that oh. my job now?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. That was my very first thought. Oh my God, it's why, so loud.
This is why postpartum happens. Because yeah. it's,
and it's all important of it, to talk all about those.
Such intense feelings.
And that was my first and thought. Everything had been, since I spiked the fever and passed out, everything had been really quiet.
It's
everyone
so
was
wild.
Communicating, but working quickly and quietly and making sure I was safe and Evan was safe. And so everything, yeah, when he popped out was just so loud. And so I yeah. felt really weird and discombobulated and foggy, and he was loud and I was upset. And Sam, they took him over to make sure he was okay. And Sam was like, no, you take him to his mom first. Like mm-hmm. he has to touch her first and then do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And they brought the baby up. They didn't obviously hand the baby to me, but brought him up, and just his hand grazed my cheek and it felt like the fog cleared. Aww. Immediately cleared. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so in love. Like that's when it hit.
I know.
But I was in such a stupor before it. That it was so jolting. It was just so jolting. Yeah. But then the second he grazed my skin, it felt like it just dissipated.
It's so crazy because you have all those intense feelings. Like when I was holding her thinking she's going to die someday. But also you're like, but I love it so much.
Yeah.
And then it's like so many contradictions and your hormones and everything. And nobody knows how to handle that. And so give yourself grace. And
yeah.
it's totally normal.
For quite literally whatever comes into your mind.
Everything.
Yeah.
And even if it is intense sadness, it's normal. Talk about it.
Yeah. Talk about
yeah.
it. Know that it's going to regulate. Know that you will bond with your child. But quite literally.
And sometimes it doesn't happen right away.
Yeah. Whatever no. is surging yeah. through your body, like you think whatever you think.
Yeah. You just did something impossible.
Yes.
And you did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was foggy. It was foggy. I just, like, everything that we're explaining, like, my memory is very whole. There's lots of holes. Like, I just remember, like, really focusing. I was so focused on trying to do everything right, or like trying to just do the right thing to get the baby out in the right way and have her be healthy. And like Megan talked about, like, they give you oxygen, and I'm thinking back now, like, I think I kept my glasses on for like most of it, and then I literally took them off. But it was just really funny because I had like my glasses on and then like the oxygen mask, and I was like and like my glasses were all foggy, but I was like, I didn't care. I wasn't even opening my eyes. I was just looking at the pillow, and like Brett was like, you got this, you could do it. And I was just like, it just goes, it takes forever, but it feels like it goes fast because you're just like never experienced anything like that before. And it's just a whirlwind. It is such a whirlwind. And you just hope for that baby to be healthy. And so, yeah. So when I was like leveraging my towel and the like bar above the bed, she's like, oh, do you want to feel the head? You want to feel the head.
Oh, yeah. Really?
And I was like, oh. I was like, Tyler, I guess.
If he wanted to feel it, he's like, I'm good.
I was like, okay. And then I touched it and I was like, eh. And then I was like, okay, I only have a couple more. You know, because like I knew I was almost there.
I think I touched it. And then I also
remember
a mirror.
Oh, I didn't. I was like,
and I was just like,
no thanks on it. No thanks on a mirror.
No, I didn't want to see that. I didn't want to know. I was just
there
like,
we go.
We'll see her later. Yeah. Yeah. And so she just kind of, at one point, one of the pushes just slid her out. And like, you can feel she was like, the doctor was, you know, maneuvering the shoulders around the, you have to get him out, you know. And so that's they kind of like pull out, but it also is coming out. It's such a strange feeling. And like you said, very vacant all of a sudden. And then the part we kind of joked about earlier was the placenta. And you're literally like, oh my God, I gave birth to my baby. And everything's like a whirlwind. And then like take it away to like, I didn't hear.
You think you're done.
Yeah. You're like, okay, I'm
because
done.
I just remember her being like, just a couple more pushes and it's not as hard.
Yeah.
Like I was so just like, oh, okay, fine. I'll do they that like, while I'm holding a baby. Like it was bizarre.
Yeah. I had quite literally no idea that anything happened post birthing the baby. That there was like,
about it.
Yeah, I had no idea that
they
after,
saw you up so fast.
After the baby coming out, there are more things to come. I had no idea. I thought I was done.
Yeah.
All set.
Yeah.
I didn't know your uterus has to contract back down to its size.
Oh, that too, I know.
They push everything out. You have to like vacate everything that was in there. There's blood. There's so much blood. And you continue to bleed for a long time.
You
after
do.
You give birth,
you do.
Which was, I think, for
I did
me,
too.
I knew, but I didn't like know how much. And that's crazy. Because so we'll
your body is
time.
Vacating all sorts of things.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Everything that was in there to support the baby is all coming out. And they have to make sure it gets out so you don't get infections. And like, so they like push, they're like, we're going to push really hard down on your. And you're like, okay. And at the moment, you're like, oh, it's going to hurt. And like before reading about it and like learning they were going to do that, I was like, oh, that's going to be painful. And it fucking didn't matter. I was just like, where's my baby? Like, because they were taking out, I think she had gotten some, what is it?
Meconium.
Meconium. Yeah. Like she had like inhaled some. So they were like clearing her nostrils and stuff like that. And she was fine. I heard her make noises. And I knew she was okay and breathing, but I was just like, ugh. And then, so they focused on getting the placenta out, and that just felt weird. It just felt weird. And they show it to you?
They didn't show me.
Or they were like, do you want to see it? And I was like, yeah. Ew.
Really? Oh,
and I was like, yeah. And it's not gross, right? I'm just being like, that's my initial response. It was like, I've never seen an organ of
mine. A whole body part, yeah.
Never seen an organ of mine, like, out of the wild.
I didn't get to see mine. I wish I'd seen mine.
I could, kind of same.
And I was like, that is so big. That's what I said. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, that is so large. No wonder you're puking and dying the first trimester because you're building that shit. It is so big.
No wonder you can't hold food at the end and have to pee all the time.
I might have seen it, and I don't remember. I just remember a brief, like
and then
trash
I was like,
can tilt.
Yeah, I was like, okay, thank you. And then they took it away. And they were like, do you want it? And I was like, no. I was like, no, I don't think
they didn't
do.
Ask me that, but I think I had it in my birth plan. I'm like, I'm not interested in my placenta.
But again, we do want to hear from the moms.
Who did? Seriously, fascinating.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was just like, whoa. And then they put her on me. And
oh my God. Like, there's like a video. I'm so glad there's a video of the moment because, like I said, everything just disappears. Like, you, I don't actually remember doing this, but I've seen videos.
Yeah.
Where I just go, hi. And like, okay, we're all going to cry
today. I know I'm going to cry.
Her little eyes are the same. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So like, you see what they
Evan's
look like.
Mouth and they is the aren't same. Cute.
Okay. Like, they look fucking weird, but, but you're like, so enamored. You're just like, you're the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And you look shut. Crazy.
They're all puffy.
Evan was all awful. Mouth. Like, my whole human adult size mouth, but on a baby.
Yeah. Avery was all like puffy and just cute.
Oh, she was so cute. Oh, she this is so getting me, guys.
I know. And then she like fully was looking at me. And like, fully aware and like, look, like, obviously they can't see much, but I was just, oh, it's crazy. Anyway, and I was just so in love. I remember
holding her and then they just latched her on and there we go.
And
you're not breastfeeding yet. You're just doing the, what's it called?
Colostrum.
Whoa. Colostrum.
Did I say that correctly?
Yeah. And that starts another journey.
And we will talk about that journey
later
in the next episode.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, but. I just remember that, and then, like, I don't know, just holding her and just loving the shit out of it.
I remember looking at her in the little bassinet thing and being like, oh, my God, what the fuck? Oh, my God, what the fuck? Oh, my God.
Tyler?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then because you think like, the pregnancy...
It's so weird.
You think the pregnancy was the big thing, and then here they are. And you're like, this is the big thing.
And Tyler even took his shirt off and held her.
Oh, Sam did too.
Yeah. The skin to skin.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. And then I fell asleep. And they fed me. It was 2:43 in the morning when she was born.
I've actually heard our hospital has really good food.
It was probably almost 4 a.m. It was
good. Yeah.
And they, like, brought me steak and potatoes and broccoli.
Yeah.
And I was like... 4 a.m. I'm in the steak. Don't care. And then I fell asleep. And then I was just like asleep. And Tyler just held Avery the whole time. And then.
Yeah.
And they take him to do the vitamins and things. The vitamin, what is it? In the foot.
The vitamin K?
Vitamin K and all that.
Yeah. Your eye. Isn't something in your eye?
Yeah. They run all sorts of tests.
They were definitely over and they're all cute in their little bundles.
Oh, I know. They swaddle them so well.
And they
do.
They take them and run an array of tests to make sure that they're okay. Yeah, no obvious symptoms of anything.
Yeah. When one thing we noticed right away, and this is really interesting, I was looking at her and I was like, what's this little bump on her ear? She still has it.
Oh, Evan has one too. It was a little skin tag.
Well, they're like, oh. Good catch. We're going to take her and check on something real quick. And they checked her kidneys because the kidney and the ear develop from the same place in the belly.
Same.
And that's a symptom of having kidney issues.
Yeah.
Is having that little bump.
They checked Evan for the exact same thing.
So fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still love his little bump.
I know.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so cool. Oh my God, you guys, we had kids. That's crazy. And anyone who's going to do this, like you.
You've got it.
You've got it.
And it's a wild... It impossible, is so hard crazy. Journey, and it's...
And trust yourself.
You hold your human little baby, and it's the cutest freaking thing ever.
Trust yourself. So trust your instincts.
It's not even... I heard a comedian that I really love, Rosebud Baker, watch her special on Netflix. Okay, go look for it. It's great. It has to do with, like, she did a show while she was pregnant, and then afterwards, and it's great. Anyway, so she said that it's not even... Love is not the actual... She's like, love doesn't do it justice. It's not like the feeling doesn't match up with like the love that you felt before.
Yeah.
It is a totally new category.
Yes.
A feeling that you've never had. And I can't express like how accurate that is.
And I think you think might also kill you and you love it. Like it's so much love. It might actually kill you. Love. Yeah.
And fear.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh my God, I have to keep it alive. And then.
Yeah.
For me, I just wanted to sleep immediately. That's like the feeling. I think I still feel a little bit of guilt around like because of my situation with my birth lasting so long, the early stage.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't get enough sleep and I slept for 3 hours and watched Harry Potter.
It's okay to sleep.
And then I needed to sleep and they were like, we are going to try to latch again. And I was like, I got to sleep.
That's okay.
And I was like, just feed her the like donor milk right now. And I just like was honestly, it feels... I just wanted to fucking sleep.
Yeah, liberty, that's okay.
And I wasn't ready. I also think I was kind of avoiding. I was like, you can take her.
That's also okay.
Take her away.
Yeah.
And then I want to see
keep her alive.
Her, but like, I was just like,
how am I going to keep this thing alive?
When we talk about the feeding, we should talk about the cluster feeding. that happens because that was so hard. I just remember being like calling a nurse, like, I need you to take her or I'm going to throw her. Yeah. I wasn't going to throw her, but you know what? Like, that's how you feel. You're just like,
get her.
I need her gone right now because I'm not sleeping and you're so
overwhelmed.
Tired.
If you had a baby, fuck yeah, girl. And
if you're about to, you got it.
Good luck. And if you want one, you can do it. It's not impossible. It is wild.
So, like always, I want to remind you guys to fill out our Google form if you have any stories to share or resources. It can be anonymous, or you can leave your name if you want. And remember, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.